John chapter 1. We're going to the Gospel of John today to hear the story of Christ. John chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 14. Shall we stand in honor of God's Word? You know, sometimes when we have visiting pastors, they don't know we're supposed to stand. So thank you for doing that. It's good. I like it. John 1, 1 through 14, the very Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's a mouthful. Amen? Wow. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Our verse today in 12, 13. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word of the Lord to us this morning. Thank you. Please be seated. Congregation, a couple of weeks ago, we started to prepare ourselves in the Advent season for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We began to tell a story. No, it was not the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It was not the story of the miracle on 34th Street or Ebenezer Scrooge. It's the story of Jesus Christ and his birth. Unless we confuse our children, this story is true. This story, this script, was written by God through men who penned it down, but nonetheless were led by God, so that what we have before us today is the story of Jesus Christ, which I'm uncomfortable saying. Because I don't want anybody to think, oh, another story. Oh, another story. This is the story of all stories. Amen? Yeah. So, we saw from Titus 3 a couple weeks ago that while humanity is just passing along through life, just passing along, going along through life, as Titus 3 put it, Jesus appeared. Suddenly, miraculously, gloriously, Jesus appeared. What we had 2 weeks ago was a script in our hands for our eyes and our ears to hear of the mercy, of the grace of God in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, it's time to go to the stage. It's time to open the curtains. It's time for the spotlight to come on. Are you ready to do that? Let's turn the spotlight on this morning. Let's open the curtains. Let's see immediately what catches our eyes as the spotlight from the story shines onto the stage. And what is it that we first see? May I suggest to you this morning that what we first see is pain. So turn the spotlight on and take a long look at pain. I'm not talking about the pain of Mary's pregnancy. We could talk about that. It was painful. How in the world did she ever describe this to Joseph? How did she ever come to her mom and her dad and say, "I'm pregnant, but here's how"? There is the pain that we can shine upon the stage of the birth of Christ regarding the brutality of the Romans and their taxation of the people and how they just drained the people constantly of their money and kept God's people poor, hungry. There is the pain of Mary traveling to Bethlehem. There is the pain of babies being slaughtered. I read that this week for my own devotions. And I just, oh man, what? They slaughtered the children 2 years and younger. That is pain. There's the pain of traveling and hiding in Egypt. So there's all these things we could zoom in with the spotlight on the stage and just see pain after pain after pain. But these pains are not what I want us to see this morning. Not this list. I want us to see a different pain. If you'll allow me to put it this way, I want you to see the pain of God in the Christmas story. And I think if we don't see the pain of God in the Christmas story, we're going to miss the whole story. Really, we are. So would you bear with me? Because I know it's Christmas time and it's fun and it's joyful. And now you got Pastor Dave talking about pain. I'm not going to apologize. It's at the essence of the story. If we had to find the pain, particularly with the spotlight on the stage, we'd hone in on verse 11. Go there. It's one of the most, as one commentator put it, pathetic verses in the Bible. One of the most shameful verses in the Bible regarding humanity. Let's read it. Verse 11. He came to his own, that encapsulates everything, all of his creation. And, John emphasizes now, and in fact, his very own people, who were cared for, all those stories. He came to his very own. What? They did not what? What's the word? I think in every one of your translations it has the word receive, doesn't it? They did not receive him. Now, I want to say to you this morning, that's pain. If you have tasted of rejection by someone who you love, maybe you get the idea of this. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Now, I suppose in the direct story, we were just talking to kids about it. The pain of God is found in that little phrase. There was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them. I mean, there's further pain, like the Magi who come to Jerusalem and ask for directions, and the priests come out and give them directions and tell them, well, Bethlehem. You know what amazes me? None of those guys went with the Magi. Care. You tell me they were looking for the Messiah? Well, they weren't looking very hard. Because here's this host of Magi showing up, and they don't even go with them. So the pain I want us to feel this morning is in the word receive. So I'm going to give this to you. All right, here we go. This will be fun. We'll learn a little Greek. Okay? Will you hang with me? You know I don't usually do this because my Greek is very weak. The word here is paralambano. Sub Kim is in the back checking me out there. Yeah, it's paralambano. Paralambano. Can you turn to somebody right now and just say paralambano? Say that. Paralambano. Para, para. You hear the word para, like parable. It's okay, that word has to do with something's coming alongside of. So I'm receiving, I'm taking. The word is literally I took and brought it alongside of me. That's paralambano. That's the word here. It's a little bit like someone gets elected into office, and then he, what does he do? He takes the office. You know, takes the office as governor. That word take, paralambano. Now, it's beautifully used all over the Scriptures, but here's how it's used a lot during, for the Christmas story, is regarding how Joseph took or received Mary. Listen to this, Matthew 1:20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived is hers from the Holy Spirit. Don't be nervous about taking her. Don't be nervous about paralambanoing her. Matthew 1:24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He paralambano his wife. So I suppose, maybe this is a little bit of a stretch, but you could say paralambano means to get married. That's a stretch, but you get the idea. You're not just, you're taking someone to come alongside of you. You're taking someone to be with you. So the point here in verse 11 is that even though he came to his own did not paralambano. They didn't marry him. They didn't take him. Well, they didn't take him, and what did they do? Well, as we saw earlier in a song we sang, they bore him to Calvary. That's what they did. They took him all right. But they didn't take him to themselves. So paralambano is the pain. So the pain of God is from this pathetic response of humility. Of humanity to God's mercy, and even further by the fact that he's not received by his very own promised people of God who have been cared by God's fatherly hand now for centuries and centuries. Now, listen to this in Hosea 11. Let me just try to display a little bit of the pain of God as he communicates it in various ways in different texts. Hosea 11. This is the Lord speaking. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Now, that's a phrase you get, right? Out of slavery, out of bondage, out of pain. I called my son. The more they were called, the more they just went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took him by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them. I fed them. Can you picture God now? A little spoon feeding a little child? That's what he's been doing for his people. And what did his people do? They got that mouth of oatmeal and he spit it on him. That's rejection. Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. That's what we do with God. Hide our face from him. We don't want to see him. Don't talk to me about God. Don't talk. That's our culture right now. Don't talk to me about God. Get him out of here. Get him out of our schools. Get him out of our government. We don't even want to hear his name. Surely He's borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet what did we do? Well, we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. In other words, we thought God hated Him. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Would you take the spotlight on the stage today and zero in on that? He is afflicted. He is slaughtered. Isaiah 53. Okay, so it's like this. Guys, you come with your little wedding ring. And you want to get engaged. You're so excited. Will she say yes? And so you come and maybe you take her out for dinner, something, you know. And then afterwards, you know, what do? You get down on your knee. And you say, honey, would you marry me? And what did she say? Why don't you get out of my face? I'm so sick and tired of you. I don't even want anything to do with you. I hate you. You think I'm going to marry you? You think I'm going to paralambano you? So the world has said, no way, Jose, to God. So I say to you, that's the pain. That's the setting. That's the stage that Jesus Christ was born into. Don't think He's born into a stage where all the actors are gathered around going, yay! No. That's the pain of verse 11. This was the reception of humanity to their Creator. I say again, how pathetic. Such was the pain of God and the overwhelming foolishness of man. The second point, a stage with a spotlight. We've just had it on the word pain. Now can we zero in on something else here this morning? And the word would be passion. And when I speak of passion, I'm speaking of the passionate love of God for His people. And it's found here, right here in these words, He came to His own. He came. He came knowing the script. He came knowing that He bent down on His knee, knowing that He would be spit upon. This is passionate love. This is the essence of the Christmas story that makes it the story of all time most wonderful. He bent His knee and paralambanoed you so that you would paralambano Him. Amen? This is the passion of the play, of the story, of the stage, of the declaration. This is the God who loves you. And so today, if you've been ignoring Him and turning from Him with plenty of other things to do besides Him, now I hope I've helped you visualize today the pain of God, who in His mercy is on His bended knee. Larnell Harris sings this song, Unbelievable Love. I'll read a little bit of the lyrics. I look at the stars and I'm amazed at what I see. I feel the sun on my face and I'm overwhelmed by the reality that the Creator is my Savior and friend. He gives His love over and over again. Unbelievable. Unbelievable love. It's hard to understand. Inconceivable that the Lord of all can take me just as I am. He knew the price He'd have to pay. Yet love brought Him to me anyway. Unbelievable. This is unbelievable love. If you saw my heart, you'd understand this change in me. It was just yesterday. I was afraid that I would never be free. But His loving arms reached out and brought me so near, breaking the chains of all my doubts and all my fears. God became man, congregation. He transcended. He humbled Himself to love the unlovable. May your pastor, former pastor, say once again to you this simple statement. God loves you. No one loves you like God. God loves you. Say with me this morning, God loves me. Say that. God loves me. Turn to somebody and say, God loves me. Isn't that amazing? I mean, even to say it, just it's like, wow. I think it's why we like John 3:16. What's John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We love that song, that verse. Love that verse. Third point. Let's move the spotlight one more time this morning from pain to this passionate love of God. Now to the word is perseverance. Jot that down in your notes if you keep it. Pain, passion, perseverance. Wait, now come on. Move the spotlight over there. What is on the stage for us to shine a spotlight on? Why? Look. Look, it's a few people gathered at a church called Rockford Springs Community Church. Move the spotlight over there a little bit. Wait, there's more. There are some folks gathered in Malawi reading some Bibles that they previously didn't have because some of those people at RSCC sent them some money for some Bibles. God's got some people in Malawi. Shine the spotlight over there on Malawi. Wait a minute, crank it over here. Move the spotlight over here. Look at China. They say they don't believe in God. They ought to check with some of their people. They're in the spotlight this morning. God's got some of them. Take a look around in Haiti, in Russia, in Japan, in Quebec, in Uganda. Look around. Move the spotlight. Oh, there's some more. There's some more. This is crazy. Look at this. Would you look with me at verse 12? But. Oh, I love that word. Watch out now. God's going to do something. But to all, to every one of them. But to all who did, what's the word? It's not paralumbano. I was surprised. I thought, surely this is going to be the same word. It's not. But to all who, just lumbano. Forget the para this time. It's a simpler form. But to all who, to every one of them who just grabbed him, just got a grip on him, who just laid their hands upon him. Picture that. Can you get that? Like, you're just grabbing on. To everyone who just got a grip on him. Now let's clarify. Who believed in his name. Careful. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people around grabbing on to Jesus like they're grabbing onto a rabbit's foot. Wrong reason. Grabbing onto Jesus so they can get some more money. No, really, that's true. Come on. Go down to Joel Osteen's church in Texas. That's what they preach. I'm just telling you. That's what they preach. What's this about a plumber just found $600,000 in the guy's house? What? Is that why you're lumbano-ing him? Why have you laid your hands upon him? Verse 11. To be given the right to become children. children of God. So lay hold of him for the right reason. Because they believed in his name. They believed in his name. What is his name? Jesus. What does that name mean? Savior. I can't save myself. I didn't lay hold of him like I'm going to save myself. I laid hold of him because he's the only one who can save me. I believe in his name, Jesus, who saves his people from their sins. This is the story of Jesus. He gave the right to become children of God. Nothing to be at all arrogant on our part that we've laid hold of him. But you have laid hold of him, haven't you? Isn't that what professing your faith is all about? Isn't it? Look at verse 13, lest we think we can boast about this. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So let's just cut through it. Who were born of God. How is it that I laid hold of him? Because I was born of God. Put a spotlight then this morning on the grace of God. Put a spotlight this morning on the mercy of God. Put a spotlight this morning on Jesus. And if God so loved this one who but spit upon him, then what are we to do? Ooh, this is where the rubber hits the road. We're to love others. December is typically the month where the police have to go to a lot of people's homes and break up fights. Yeah. Because we don't love each other like God loved us. So what are we called to do, congregation? Love one another. Love one another. Oh, that just sounds so trite. But that's our calling. To love like God. Who came to his own was not received, yet kept all those who would but grip upon him. Amen? So I want to close this morning with just a little reading from Matthew of the Christmas story. Got the curtains open, got the stage open. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. And his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to, what's the word? Paralambano. Mary, take her as your wife. Bring her alongside of you. Become one with her. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people. All of those in verse 12 that lay hold of him. He will save his people from their what? Isn't that great news this morning, congregation? That's why we go before this table. He's going to save us from our sins. This took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. There's a script. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he, what? Paralambano, his wife. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. Persevere by holding on to you, we pray. Help us to believe in the name of Jesus as our Savior, as our Lamb, as our substitute on the cross. Father, feed us now from the table, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen.